Hey everyone, welcome to Tech Talk. Hope you're all doing great on this last weekend of September and wishing our Jewish listeners a happy Rosh Hashanah, those celebrating a new year. And hey, Thanksgiving is almost here, right? October 10th. Not sure about you, but this year has just flown by. Hey, we have a great Tech Talk planned for you this hour. We're going to chat with Amazon on the first half of the show. In fact, I recorded an interview just the other day, which we'll play first, about free upskilling courses. If you're itching for a new job or career, or maybe you want to be promoted where you are. And again, these courses are free, believe it or not. So we're going to talk with AWS, Amazon Web Services, in a moment. But coincidentally, I also caught up with Amazon's head of Alexa Games this week to talk about gaming on your smart speaker or smart display, including the new Song Pop from Gameloft, a super fun music trivia game. So the first half of the show is going to be all Amazon. On the back half of Tech Talk today, we'll chat with Samsung Canada's head of mobile about its foldable phones, the Galaxy Z family. That's the fold and the flip phone, which is super sleek, and what's new there. And finally, we're going to be joined by Square to talk about Afterpay in Canada. Afterpay lets you pay for things in 4 installments with no interest. I always enjoy having Square on the program. All of this and more on an all-new Tech Talk powered by Chevrolet Canada. And it's Chevy Bolt EV and Bolt EUV, which I'll tell you more about shortly. But let's officially kick off the show with our first interview. When it comes to the workforce, we've heard phrases that are trending like quiet quitting or the great resignation. So it's clear that many are not happy with their current career or maybe just a specific employer, but they're taking matters into their own hands. And then on top of that, there's the cost of living on the rise. So many are looking to upskill or reskill to change careers in the hopes of making more money. If this all sounds familiar to you or someone you love, then you're going to want to hear this next interview. As we're going to learn about free IT courses with AWS Canada. Joining us on the line is Coral Kennett, the education lead for AWS Canada, based in beautiful Vancouver. Hi, Coral. Thanks so much for your time.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, before we talk about these courses that AWS is offering, please tell us a bit about Amazon Web Services, or AWS for short.
AWS is a division of Amazon. We actually grew out of Amazon and their global expansion and really the ability to be able to provide our products to people all around the world. And we realized that the technology that we were using, the elasticity in terms of what cloud offers, was something that might be of interest to all kinds of different organizations. So that's really where it began. We started offering our cloud computing services in 2006, and we work across all kinds of different organizations, education being a big one that's close to my heart. That's where I work. So we have educational institutions that run, you know, learning management systems and all kinds of different educational programs on our cloud services, as well as healthcare, banking, things like Netflix that run on AWS that a lot of people are familiar with in terms of how you can start watching something on your phone and then pick it back up on your TV. So really, AWS is working across all kinds of different organizations.
So all the hosting and in some cases processing, all of this data that we're consuming, it's all sort of, instead of having, you know, you have a small business, instead of having to incur the expense of a server room and maintaining all these local computers, you can benefit from the AWS platform with cloud computing and scale easier. It's more economical. There's so many advantages with 99% plus uptime. So it's a win-win. And I love, by the way, as a techie, the consumer facing commercials that are on TV a lot for AWS. So as you said, yeah, it's a business platform, but I love how you're educating regular Canadian consumers about what the cloud brings to the table with some very familiar applications like Netflix and many others.
Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly it. And thanks for bringing that up, because we do have very large organizations, you know, like Netflix or the NHL, where we do a lot of the analytics, that are using AWS. But really, the vast majority of our customers are also very, very small users. So people that are running small businesses, students, researchers, people that are starting to take advantage of these technologies, storage, compute, databases, Internet of Things, all of these things are really available to anyone. It's the democratization of a lot of these technologies for large and small users alike.
Love it. All right. So that was a great AWS 101. Thank you for that. Would you say, Coral, the pandemic was a wake-up call for many and perhaps they're considering a different career path? Was COVID sort of the impetus for this?
I think there's been a growing demand for tech skills for quite a long time, and definitely COVID has accelerated that. And one of the things that we really want to let people know about is that, you know, tech skills aren't just for people with a tech background or someone who's had an IT career or taken computer science classes. Tech skills are really for everyone. And we're really seeing that growing demand. And in fact, approximately 6.5 million workers in Canada need to undergo digital skills training just in the next year. And we're also finding that a lot of workers, so 66% of workers, aren't confident that they're gaining these skills fast enough for their future needs. So really, it is for everyone. And I think the pandemic has accelerated this demand, but we've got a lot of different options for people, whether they have a technical background or no technical background whatsoever.
So it's not just about looking for a new career or a new company to work for. It could be just educating yourself to be promoted perhaps within the same organization by adopting some new skills that you may be lacking, which is great. So I guess an advantage to what you're offering versus going to college or, you know, a traditional university course in IT is that it takes less time to complete. Is that fair?
We're providing a lot of different options for people who, when they're wanting to upskill with some of these different technical skills that they might be interested in. So we offer all kinds of different options, from things that maybe can be done in an afternoon and just like a handful of hours on a specific topic, to all kinds of different courses that can maybe be done on your own over a week or a couple of weeks, all the way up to working with academic institutions and different partners that we have programs running over several weeks that might lead to a certification. So there's really a lot of different options depending on what your interest level is, what your background is, and what time commitment do you want to make. But really, there's a lot of ways that people can start to get these skills right away at little to no cost.
Right. And with that in mind, let's now talk about AWS DeepRacer. There's AWS CloudQuest and AWS Skill Builder. What are these and who would you say they're designed for?
AWS DeepRacer is a really, really great program that allows anyone, even people that are beginners, to start programming and racing tiny little autonomous vehicles for free. So it really gives you access to machine learning techniques. We have these tournaments that run, these different DeepRacer leagues that run in collaboration with universities and with different organizations all across Canada. They run virtually and they run in person. And really, it allows you to start playing with some of these different types of machine learning skills while doing something fun like racing cars.
And then AWS CloudQuest?
CloudQuest is really cool. It's a gamification of some of our cloud skills. And so it's a 3D game. And I should mention that it's free. It's a free 3D game that lets you zap drones, you have pets, you get to solve puzzles. And as you're doing this, you're gaining cloud skills and you're really building your knowledge of cloud along the way in a really fun way.
All right. And then there's Skill Builder, AWS Skill Builder.
Skill Builder offers you a catalog of over 500 free on-demand digital courses on a multitude of topics. So you may be interested in learning about things like storage or some of the computing capabilities of AWS or databases, or you may have a specialized interest such as security or data and analytics or, you know, even blockchain. And there's all kinds of different options on there. So you don't have to have, again, a very deep background in IT. You can go in and search through Skill Builder on the 500 courses that are there and start to dive in and build yourself a personalized pathway for learning.
Fantastic. And for all of these, what do you need to get going? Is it just like a regular computer will do?
That's right. Yep. Any computer you can use, you just get your regular computer and you go to www.aws.training. And that's where you'll find the catalog of all of these different options. And you can go on there, you can register and really start looking for what it is that suit the interest or the skills that you're looking for and get started right away.
We are chatting with Coral Kennett. She is the education lead for AWS Canada. She's explaining the different courses that AWS offers for little or to no cost. So we'll get to that in a moment, such as AWS DeepRacer, CloudQuest. It's a gamified way of learning the basics of the cloud. And then there's AWS Skill Builder, which is over 500 different courses to take. The ones that you do pay, is it comparable to, say, a college course? And are those the ones that you would even get certification for upon completion?
So AWS DeepRacer, AWS CloudQuest, and AWS SkillBuilder are all available for free on our training website. We do partner with academic institutions for learners who may want to take more of a traditional learning experience where they have an instructor and maybe go through a set course. And in those cases, there may be fees associated with them. The ones that we were talking about today, those three specifically, are all offered at no charge on our training website.
Awesome. And why is AWS doing this?
Well, we're very committed to ensuring that there's access to these skills, and we feel a responsibility to ensure that we are contributing to upskilling students and workers who are interested in learning these skills. The rise in the use of cloud skills and of AWS specifically has been substantial. And so we want to ensure that whatever industry you're working in, we're providing ways that people can access these skills without a really big barrier of entry. So we feel a really strong responsibility to do that.
That's awesome. So it sounds very altruistic. So it's not like you're looking for Amazon employees necessarily or AWS employees.
So we do have some students that will potentially be interested in working for AWS, but the vast majority of learners that go through these programs and that are interested in these skills are going to be working in industries all across the spectrum in terms of public sector organizations like government and healthcare and education, as well as commercial companies like, you know, Netflix and NHL and banking and all of these other types of organizations. So really, we're not looking to do this, you know, to bring everyone to come to work for Amazon. It's that, you know, with the millions of active users that we have, we know that there's a lot of people that are looking for workers that have these skills. And so we're really trying to make sure that we're contributing to that skills development for all of the different users that we have.
Great. AWS.training. And then you can find the different areas there. Coral, thank you so much for your time. Thanks so much. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Mark.
Tech Talk is powered by Chevrolet Canada. Charge up and go places with the Chevrolet Bolt EUV, the affordable electric crossover that moves with the current of life. You have to tech it out at Chevrolet.ca. You'll definitely want to pick one up, and you'll never have to pay for gas ever again. Chevrolet.ca. More Amazon when we return. Stay with us on Tech Talk. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Tech Talk. Hey, do you love your Alexa Echo smart speaker or smart display? And do you like playing games or hearing music? Of course you do. Well, now it can all come together with SongPop for Alexa, which we're going to now hear about, as well as some other ways to use Alexa to play games. We're joined by Steve Bernstein. He's director of Alexa Games. Hi, Steve. Thanks so much for your time.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me today.
I consider myself a bit of a music nerd, so I'm excited to chat with you about SongPop. Before we do, Alexa-powered Amazon Echo devices are so popular today. What makes them good as a gaming platform or to integrate into your gaming experiences?
You're right, Mark. Alexa-enabled devices like Echoes are really popular. People use them for so many different things to make their lives easier and better and more entertaining. They use them for shopping for groceries, turning lights on and off in their smart home, listening to music, which hopefully you do, as well as playing games. They're a really great way to play games because voice is, it's very natural, it's very immersive, and it's very interactive. So when you play a voice-based game, you can do all these different things, and you can be part of the experience in a way you couldn't for games without voice. Take one of my favorite games on Alexa, for example, Jeopardy. Popular game show, it's also popular, you know, popular mobile, but when you play with your voice through Alexa, it's a lot more immersive. You really feel like you're a contestant in the game. For example, when Mayim Bialik states the answer and then you shout back the question, it feels like you're actually in the game studio, like you're playing live. And that's one of the things I love about it. And that's one of the things that really resonates with our customers.
Like you said, it's more accessible. It's fun and easy to play games using just your voice. I know on other Amazon Echo devices, I've played like role-playing games, like those old text adventures, but using my voice. Then there's the multiplayer games like Jeopardy, which is super fun. And I'll add, Steve, that gaming is as fun on an Echo speaker as it is a smart display, like the Echo Show 15, for example, that I have here in my home office. Can you explain the differences between a smart speaker and a smart display?
Yeah, sure. So we have lots of different Alexa-enabled Echo devices. We have ones that are smart speakers like Echo Dot that don't have screens. And we have Echo Shows, mm-hmm. which have HD screens. And we make games, or we work with partners to make games for all of them. Some of the more popular games on speakers are games like Question of the Day, where it's a trivia game, or as well as SongPop, which works really well on devices without screens because it's music-based, so you can just guess at it. But we also have popular games that work really well on screens. They're designed for screens. Games like The Price is Right or The Wheel of Fortune, where there's really interactive graphics is part of it that makes the game even more immersive along with the screen and the voice. And then there's some games like Song Pop I mentioned before that work well on both. Song Pop works well on a speaker, but also if you play it with a screen device, there are all the different kinds of interesting graphics that can make the game even more fun.
All right, so without further ado, let's hear about Song Pop for Alexa. Tell us about it.
Sure. It's a trivia game, a music trivia game, and it's been around for over 10 years as a mobile game. And we're really excited that Gameloft created a Song Pop version of Alexa. It's pretty easy to play. You just start by saying, Alexa, open Song Pop. And then once Alexa opens it for you, you listen to a short snippet of a song, and then you guess what the song is, and you guess what the song title is. You win points when you get it right. You lose points when you get it wrong. If you guess wrong three times, three strikes and you're out, the game is over. But you don't have to worry. If you want to keep playing, you can just start over and play a new game.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, I guess, Name That Tune. I know that that's not the brand, the official brand. It is called Song Pop. But the idea is that these are pop songs that give you a short snippet, and then you've got to guess the name of the song and the artist. And speaking of which, there's a lot of different genres, right? Or is it just pop tunes, as the name would suggest?
There are lots of different genres. So there are pop songs, but there's also rock songs, there's folk songs, there's all different kinds of depths of different music catalogs in it. That's one of the great things about Song Pop, and one of the reasons we're excited they brought their version to Alexa, because of the depth of the catalog they have in the game. Like, for example, I'm playing it a lot lately and I'm really getting into 80s rock. I like to test myself with that, and I'm getting pretty good lately. Whenever there's a Bon Jovi song that comes up, I nail it, I get it right, I get a lot of points. But then I was just playing the other day, and I got stumped between Audioslave and Soundgarden, which I guess it can be an easy mistake to make, but I live in Seattle, so I would hope I would have done better.
Right. Well, they're both Chris Cornell, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's easy to mix them up.
Yeah, got it. So when you hear a snippet of a song like Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer, is it the actual song or is it a remake of it? You know how some karaoke, they don't have the license to include the real clip.
It's actually the song.
Okay, awesome. And is this something that you would play by yourself or can you play with friends around you?
It's single player. It's only... there's only one, you're not playing against someone in another room or another city or anything like that. But as many people who want can play in the room with you. For example, I play with my wife all the time. She joins me and we try to shout out the right answers, and we bring our collective knowledge of different music catalogs, and we work better together because we can kind of brainstorm a bit about what the right answer is.
Is this an Alexa quote unquote skill that you have to install first? Or as you said, you just say to your smart speaker or smart display, play Song Pop, and that's all you need to do. Nothing to install.
You can just say, Alexa, open Song Pop, and you can start playing. There's nothing else you need to do.
Love that. We are chatting with Steve Bernstein. He's director of Alexa Games. We're learning all about the new Song Pop for Alexa and how you can play for free, by the way, we should mention, on your favorite Alexa-enabled device, your Echo device. Let's now pivot and talk about something called Alexa Game Control, which allows you to use your voice to control games. Is that right? Tell us about it.
Yeah, that's right. We just announced Alexa Game Control recently. It's our solution for AAA game developers to integrate Alexa voice technology into their games. Deep Silver, our partner, just announced the first game to use Alexa Game Control. It's a game called Dead Island 2. It's a new zombie adventure video game. It's available. It will be available in February on PCs and consoles. So what Alexa Game Control does is it makes voice part of the gameplay interface. You can use your voice to interact with characters, you can engage with enemies, you can navigate the world, you can change weapons. Mark, for example, imagine you're playing a game and you want to change a weapon. Before Alexa Game Control, you would have to pause the game, go into the menu, to swap out your weapon. Now you can just do something like say, swap to my samurai sword, swap to my hunting knife, and you don't have to get out of the game. You can stay completely immersed in the game, and you don't have to say Alexa to do it either. Alexa Game Control enables game developers to put voice into their games and make it a very integrated part of the game. There are all different kinds of unique things or fun things you can do depending on the genre. Take Dead Island 2, for example. It's a zombie adventure game. So again, imagine you're a zombie apocalypse and you see a bunch of zombies in front of you and you want to figure out, hey, how can I attack? How can I slash those zombies faster, most effectively. With Alexa Game Control in Dead Island 2, you'll be able to say, hey, zombie, hey, zombie, hey, zombie, and you can goad the zombies over to you, and then you can slash them up. And it makes it a lot of fun. And you know, this is just an example of one game. You can think about lots of different possibilities where voice is really natural, and it can make gameplay more interesting, more interactive. You can imagine, you know, a sports game where you're a coach and you're calling the shots with a voice as if you were a coach in real life. So we're just really excited for all the new innovative ways that game developers will be able to use voice and use Alexa technology in their games.
Yeah, thanks for walking us through all that. I know Amazon announced Alexa Game Control at Gamescom 2022 back in late August, which again, as you said, enables you to play computer and console-based games using your voice, or augmenting traditional controls using your voice, which is really neat. You also walked us through SongPop. How do we get going on both of these?
For SongPop, it's really easy. Just go to an Alexa-enabled device and say, Alexa, open SongPop. Then you follow Alexa's prompts. You can pick your, you know, favorite genre. For mine, it's the 80s. And you can even walk through a tutorial to help show you how to play. And then you can start playing. For Alexa Game Control and Dead Island 2, it releases in February. But you can head over to amazon.com/AlexaGameControl to learn more.
Amazon.com/AlexaGameControl. Great to chat with you, Steve. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks. I enjoyed talking to you.
Hey, if you want to reach out on social media, let me know if you've got any tech questions, what you think of Tech Talk, maybe some suggestions for upcoming topics or guests. You can hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, or YouTube. It's Mark Saltzman, MarkSaltzman. I write a tech tip of the day. I link to articles that I write for USA Today and Costco Connection Magazine, Zoomer, Toronto Star, and so on. I link to podcasts and radio interviews, TV chats. There are giveaways, polls, and fun memes, all that kind of stuff. Once again, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. It's Mark with a C, SaltzMan. When we return on Tech Talk, there's been a lot of buzz about the new iPhones, but let's be honest here. They look and act very similar to previous models. If you're itching for a change, we're going to chat with the head of Samsung Mobile about the Galaxy Z devices, which are the foldable phones and flip phones. Then we're going to chat about Afterpay, on how you can pay for things in 4 interest-free installments, and more coming up next on Tech Talk. Stay with us. Welcome back to Tech Talk. If you're getting tired of your smartphone that looks and, you know, behaves the same way year after year with very little innovation, even though the company, when they talk about it, it's like, you know, it's something revolutionary. If you're itching for a real change, you're going to want to hear this next interview about the Samsung Galaxy Z devices, which offer a very fresh form factor, and it's not a gimmick either. We're joined on the line by Raj Doshi. He's Samsung Canada's head of mobile business, and he joined the company last year. Hi, Raj. Good to chat with you again.
Mark, very good to connect.
Yeah, I think we talked about a year ago this time with last year's devices, but I've had my hands on the Galaxy Z Fold. So that is one of the products that I want to chat with you about. I've been very impressed with it. So why don't we just start at a high level? What is the Samsung Galaxy Z family all about? And how do they differ from, say, the Samsung Galaxy S devices like the S22?
Yeah, so the S devices, we've been in market for many years, continue to provide innovation, particularly in what I would call a bar or flat form factor. The Z series is the foldable series, and we've got two key products within that. One is the Fold 4, and the other is the Flip 4, which are innovative products as we believe that customers want and expect more, and these devices provide that both in terms of functionality, but also in form factor. The convenience is probably the biggest benefit.
Yeah, so let's get to that. So you mentioned one of the two new Galaxy Z devices is the Fold 4, and I really have been enjoying playing around with it. So why don't we start there? What makes it unique?
So the Galaxy Fold 4 is actually the device that I use, particularly as a business user. And the advantage from my perspective, and I think for many users in this category, is very much around the portability and expandability. It's like two phones in one. So I use the front screen for messaging and quick access, but then I open the device up and it's like a tablet in your hands. And is very useful for things like email and other larger screen applications that serve well from that function. The other part I really love on that, and I think customers do love, is the multitasking. So you can have up to 3 applications open. And this year's updates allow for a very quick multitasking access menu that's always available at the bottom of the device.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of like a computer where you can see all the little icons for the apps that you use the most, and then you can share that real estate with different apps. So for example, you could be watching a movie on one part of the screen, taking notes on the other, or checking your email on the other, which is not possible on many other devices. So you talked about some of the business applications of this, Raj, but it's also this form factor when you open it up. So it looks like a regular smartphone at first blush, but then you can open it up, it becomes a tablet. Maybe you can share with us kind of the dimensions we're chatting about and some of the fun things you can do as well for after work hours, like streaming video or playing games or reading an ebook.
The phone, when opened up into tablet format, is about 7 inches in size. And it's very useful, as you described, for video and other types of larger screen format opportunities, but also the use from a productivity standpoint. We've partnered with Google and Microsoft to continue to optimize the applications so that you can use it individually in a very useful folded format. So you can have one part, let's say, doing video and another part doing texting, or you can actually put three applications on the screen at the same time. And that I find very useful, and I think customers do as well. You mentioned the writing capability. So it does come with an S Pen, is available with the device, with a very versatile case. And that S Pen allows for very easy notations on the applications that you're using on screen. So it is a very powerful, not just a phone, but actually what I would say a very powerful tablet as well.
Even without the stylus support, which is nice to have, you know, I can just explain, because this is radio, that when I'm looking at my email in Outlook on my phone, when the device is closed and you're using the front screen, it is like any other sort of, say, Android phone or an iPhone, where you could just read your email. It's all listed there based on when they came into your inbox. But when you open it up and it becomes that 7-inch tablet, on the left side of the screen is your inbox. But then when you tap on a message, say the right 2/3 of the screen becomes the entire email. So yeah, it's really great for multitasking, even within one application, with, you know, email being an example.
Very, very true. And actually, you can configure the size, but it's like having a PC on the go. From my standpoint, and I think that's probably the best way to describe it, when the tablet part is opened and visible. And I'll tell you what I find, and I think many customers find, is that 50% is on the front screen in terms of smartphone, and probably 50% on the tablet. So it's really convenient depending on the application or the activity that you're trying to complete.
When I showed it to a few friends last weekend, Raj, they asked me, how durable is the Galaxy Z Fold 4?
Yeah, so we've continued, as you know, to evolve. This is the fourth generation device, and we've continued to improve upon the durability. It's got a aluminum armor frame. The hinge has been redesigned, and it's much more durable, but also compact. Gorilla Victus glass in the front, and IPX8. So across all of the feature sets, from a durability standpoint, very standout product.
Again, I want to be clear that this is not two separate screens when you open it up that you're looking at. It is a foldable one screen device that has a back screen that you look at when it's closed. So in that candy bar format, if you will, it's in your back pocket. But then when you open it up, it is a foldable screen. It's OLED, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
And I will say, what you described, the advantage also, and as I described, business users are also customers or consumers. And so the ability to do things like flex cam and those capabilities to take pictures using the front camera as well as the inside camera is outstanding. So there are various applications, including video and picture taking, that are very convenient with this form factor. Yeah. My friend described it as a tripod built into the camera.
I like that. Yeah, I was going to ask you about the cameras as well. We are chatting with Raj Doshi. He is Samsung Canada's head of mobile business. We are talking about the Samsung Galaxy Z family. What's new there? We're just ending off on the Galaxy Z Fold 4, the fourth generation foldable smartphone that unfolds into a full tablet. The cameras are also impressive. I did want to add, just in case people think that there's a trade-off, there is not. And how much does the Galaxy Z Fold 4 start at?
So the Galaxy Z Fold 4 with 256 gigabyte inbuilt is $2,269.99 MSRP. But there's always offers in market, especially if you've looked at some of the carrier partners in terms of service providers as well as retailers.
Right. And there's trade-ins. There's also two-year plans that you can sign up for with the carrier and other ways to save or at least spread out the payments for sure. So let's now pivot and talk about the Samsung Galaxy Flip Z4.
Very good. So the Flip is very much a consumer-focused product. And when I say consumer-focused, it has a lot of customization capabilities, including color choices, up to 75 different combinations. The front screen, so there's an outside screen on the device that allows for both customization in terms of how you want the device to activate, but also a lot of functionality in the outside screen. And then when you open it up, it is a full smartphone. So very similar to the S-series products in terms of the screen and capabilities and utilization. So it really does have a compact form factor when closed, but a very versatile and usable full smartphone feel when it's open. And it is about 6.7 inches when opened.
So it's like the old flip phones. And I know some people still long for that form factor, but it is high tech as well because it's all one screen that folds in half. So you can slip it into, you know, a clutch purse or a pair of jeans, and then you unfold it into a full-sized Android phone. And it does have a similar technology to the Fold 4, where it's OLED, gorgeous looking screen. And it also has some impressive cameras too, which you can also use when it's folded as well.
Yes. And actually that's one of the best features of the device, because in its folded mode or closed, you can put it up. And again, with using like a built-in tripod we call FlexCam.
Yeah, it's kind of like a letter L you'd have on your desk, right?
Exactly. And the biggest advantage is that you can use the outside camera for both selfies as well as regular pictures. And so you've got the high quality selfie as well as a high quality picture, which is not something that's easily done with regular flat phone. And the device with 128 gigabytes starts at $1,259.99
right.
MSRP. But as we discussed earlier, lots of offers in terms of trade-ins as well as service provider offers and retail offers that customer can take advantage of. For anyone that does not have a Samsung device, one of the questions is, how will I be able to utilize the experience on a Samsung and an Android device? And so what we've developed is a solution called TriGalaxy, which at some of the retail points you can get through scan codes, or you can go to trigalaxy.com. Download the application to pretty well any device, and it allows you to experience the S as well as the Z family interface. So you can actually try the application on how it will interface in terms of user interface on any device.
A couple more minutes with Raj Doshi from Samsung Canada. When we return, it'll be about the new smartwatch and earbuds, the Galaxy Buds that complement the smartphone or can be used with any other Android phone or an iPhone as well. And then we're going to chat with Square about Afterpay, on how you can purchase things in Canada in 4 installments with no interest. So all of that is coming up right after this break. Stay with us for more Tech Talk. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Tech Talk. Just 2 more minutes with Samsung Canada's Raj Doshi. Before we wrap up, let's also hear about the new Galaxy Buds, those wireless earbuds that were just unveiled, and a new Galaxy smartwatch as well.
That's right. So the Galaxy Buds 2 Pro launched, and they are in a continued line of high fidelity audio. And these are our best audio devices with 24-bit audio. So for the sound enthusiasts, this is the best sound experience wireless that you can get. And it works extremely well, not just with our smartphones, but also with our tablets, PCs, TVs. And so the all-around experience utilization with these devices is amazing. Alongside with using the Buds Pro in that format, I personally, for example, and you described it, use it with my Galaxy Watch 5 when I'm running. So my Galaxy Watch 5 with LTE allows me to have connectivity while I'm on the go without my phone, but also connect with the Buds. So the experience across all of the devices, outstanding.
So LTE is your cellular connection. It's usually about $10 a month. It's an opt-in feature, and that just allows you to stay connected on the smartwatch, even though you may leave the smartphone at home. So if you go for a jog, a call comes in, or you receive a text message, you can still access that on the smartwatch.
That's exactly right, Mark. And what we've done on the Galaxy Watch 5 series is we've also introduced the Galaxy Watch 5 Pro for those outdoor enthusiasts, and provides additional GPS route management, greater durability, and longer battery life. So okay, for the person on the go, it's the newest device, but we've also got the Galaxy Watch 5 series for fashion, as well as the connectivity and health management solutions that are part of the watch, including blood pressure and ECG, which is unique to our devices.
All right. And then the best website was samsung.ca, and you can read up on the pair of new phones in the Z family, as well as the Galaxy Buds and Galaxy Smartwatch 5. Thank you so much for your time, Raj. Great to chat with you again, and congrats on the launch of this new hardware. Awesome.
Thank you, Mark.
Before we continue on with the show, a huge thank you to LG Canada, a partner of mine on Tech Talk across Canada, and LG's award-winning Ergo monitors. Experience a comfortable, more flexible desktop setup. Ergo design brings an innovative ergonomic arm to fit your needs. Secure the stand, monitor, and cables with its C-clamp, one-click mount, and simple cable management in seconds. Easily adjust the pivot height and tilt, and work with improved posture and productivity. Learn more about the LG Ergo Design monitors at lg.ca. I've talked a lot about Square in the past on this program, and it's usually tied to new hardware for businesses like Square Stand and Square Terminal. But this time around, we're going to learn all about Afterpay for eligible businesses in Canada. Afterpay is a buy now, pay later payment option that allows customers to pay for their purchases in interest-free installments. Joining us to tell us more about Afterpay is Divya Narayanan. She is product lead for e-commerce at Square. Hi, Divya. Thanks for your time today.
Hi, Mark. Nice to be here.
Great. So why don't we jump right in and start off at a high level. What is Afterpay all about and how does it work?
Yeah, so Afterpay is a flexible payment option that allows customers, as you mentioned earlier, to pay in 4 fixed installments. This allows Canadians really to better budget, to better manage their cash flows, and they can take advantage of all of this with no interest. On the business side of the equation, it allows them to really lift their sales by attracting new customers and growing their average order value. They can give their customers more payment flexibility, and businesses also get paid upfront. So it's a win-win all around.
All right. So the businesses get paid upfront, so there's no downside to them. The customers get to pay in 4 interest-free installments. And with everything going on in the economy, who wouldn't like that? So is it Square then that's essentially the middleman, for lack of a better phrase, and they are paying the retailer in full, and then they're taking care of the installments with the customer?
Yeah, that's right. So Afterpay and Square are the ones basically making sure both sides of that equation work.
And how is Square integrating with Afterpay in Canada?
Yeah, so Afterpay offers publicly available APIs that can be used by any business today. And it's already being used by businesses like Urban Outfitters and PetSmart in Canada. So Square integrated with Afterpay in exactly the same way. We use those publicly available APIs to enable smaller businesses now to access buy now, pay later. We started by launching in Australia and in the US earlier this year. We just launched in the UK, and now we're excited to bring it to Canada for online purchases.
Okay, for online purchases. So Canadian consumers can't use it in store just yet?
Not yet, but our goal is to enable customers to use Afterpay however they're purchasing from Square, whether that's in store, online, on the go. So we're working on launching this in the near future.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Just to be clear, any business with an online store can use Afterpay?
So eligible Canadian businesses can use Afterpay via Square Online. Today, they can basically opt in for early access via their Square dashboard, and will automatically enable all eligible sellers over the next few weeks.
Okay. Because I know businesses tune into this program, be they entrepreneurs or a small SMB all the way up to enterprise, what makes a business eligible over ones that may be ineligible?
So we at Square and Afterpay are always looking at what businesses are a good fit for buy now, pay later. We've seen really great fit for retailers, for beauty and personal care businesses. And so there are certain categories that are not eligible for Afterpay today. This includes alcohol sales, charities, but we are kind of constantly paying attention to feedback, and we're working to adapt with that feedback.
Okay. We are chatting with Divya Narayanan. She is product lead for e-commerce at Square. We're learning all about Afterpay in Canada. This allows consumers, customers, to pay for purchases in 4 interest-free installments. Is there a minimum or a maximum purchase amount to use Afterpay?
Afterpay can be used for purchases up to $2,000, but merchants can actually set whatever minimum that they choose that might work for their specific business needs.
Okay, so the minimum is flexible based on the retailer, but the maximum is $2,000.
Right.
Square obviously services all kinds of businesses, including restaurants and retailers. They have sports and entertainment partnerships, even on a large scale. service businesses, hospitality, and also service-based businesses. So then does that mean, Divya, that I could like pay for a massage online using this?
Absolutely. So as we mentioned before, we've seen a lot of good product market fit for businesses that offer retail, for services. So your masseuse would actually very much fall in that category of beauty, personal care, and services. And we've actually seen that these businesses have actually really seen growth by offering buy now, pay later, and that payment flexibility to their customers. That's 17% growth in the US for retailers and actually 16% growth for beauty and personal care. So we've seen some nice uptick in their sales by offering this option.
So just to take a step back for a moment, the benefit of these payments through Afterpay and Square, unlike a credit card, is that you don't incur any interest. A credit card is buy now, pay later. But the difference mm-hmm. between services like Afterpay through Square versus a credit card is that you don't have to pay it in full, but there's no penalty for taking your time to pay it off in installments.
Yeah, that's fair. I think also there are other benefits in that really buy now, pay later allows a customer to really focus on a specific purchase and to actually understand exactly how much they owe in those four installments, where when you're using credit cards, it can be easy to kind of get into a point where you're just paying the minimums. Yeah. Afterpay is really designed to allow a customer to kind of complete that paying for that purchase after the end of those four installments.
So look, I know Square has been providing tools and services to larger businesses these days, but also well known for serving small and mid-sized merchants. I remember hopping in a taxi many years ago and they had a little Square dongle on their smartphone, which I love seeing yeah. catering, you know, to all kinds of businesses. And as we wrap up, Divya, how can business owners and consumers find out more info about Square and Afterpay integration in Canada?
Yeah, so businesses can find more information about Afterpay and Square's full range of products at squareup.ca.
Squareup.ca. Divya Narayanan, thank you so much for your time. Great to chat with you and congrats on the launch of Afterpay in Canada.
Thanks so much, Mark. Thank you. Thank you.
As we get ready to wrap up another Tech Talk, I always like to remind listeners on how to properly recycle your old tech, your end-of-life electronics. All you have to do is simply go to recyclemyelectronics.ca, type in your postal code or your address, and you're going to find one of many drop-off locations near you. It's free to do so, by the way, and you'll see a list of what's accepted, even old tech like fax machines, pagers, VCRs, and so on. And if you have, say, a hard drive and an old tower PC, don't worry because everything will be completely shredded. So no data will be retained. So great stuff there. RecycleMyElectronics.ca. A huge thank you to Chevrolet Canada and its Bolt EUV, an electric utility vehicle that won't break the bank. You can learn more about it at Chevrolet.ca. Wishing you all a fantastic rest of your weekend. And we'll chat with you next time for another episode of Tech Talk.